Bombs away, my friend. That's what happens when both of us are wearing bomber jackets. I'm really excited about it. What's up, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Disney Prince himself, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Tim, do you smell that in the air?
I think I do.
It's smelling like showcase season, Tim.
Showcase season, baby. It's E3 part two. Let's go, man.
Let's freaking go. How hyped are you? Gamescom opening night live happening.
Yeah, you know, hype levels from Gamescom opening night live. I think I'm very in the right place for it, where I feel like opening night live, traditionally not the biggest of events in terms of crazy announcements and stuff. We've already gotten a lot this year. This is the first time, the second time that we've gotten Summer Game Fest, opening night live, and Game Awards all in the same year. So I'm not expecting anything too mind-blowing. But having said that, 2 hours, it's a lot of time for some fun updates, some fun announcements, some confirmation of some things we're looking forward to, like maybe a Sonic Frontiers release date that may or may not have already leaked. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. It's cool. But we were talking before the show went live, showcase season, man. It's about to pop off. I just realized that so you're hosting the D23 Games panel. In just a few short weeks on a Friday. The Saturday after that, the day after, we have this beautiful run from 10 a.m. to noon of all the Marvel Studios and Lucasfilm movie announcements, going right into, at noon, the Ubisoft Forward.
Yeah.
So fortunately, they're not going to be on top of each other like a couple years ago when we had to watch Sephiroth be revealed in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and Sister Act 3 get announced for Disney Plus.
What a moment, though.
What a moment. And we'll then we got Apple's events coming soon. There's just a ton of events. Very exciting stuff all around. We're going to talk about all of that and a bunch of news that's already happened today before Showcase even went down, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday we get together right here live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to run you through all of the nerdy video game news that you need to know about. Of course, if you can't watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. You can also listen as a podcast on your favorite podcast service by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we'll be right there for you. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, which is really cool. If you don't have dollars to toss our way, that's okay. When you're on the Epic Game Store buying video games, make sure you use our Epic creator code Kinda Funny, and it will support us financially without costing you a penny more. But if you have pennies to toss directly at us, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is where you want to be, where bronze members or above get to write into the show, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post show. Except for today, because we can't do a post show. We're going right into our live reaction of Gamescom opening night live, seeing what Jeff Keighley has prepared for all of us. He was hyping up all the rehearsals. The set looks amazing. I can't wait to see what goes on in there. It's going to be really cool, Bless, because this is one of the rare times that we're getting, in modern times, we're getting a super epic stage press conference with thousands of fans in the audience at Gamescom. So there's a different energy to that, right? Very excited. Yeah. So we'll be live reacting right here on Twitch, or it'll go up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then after that, slightly related, we're going to do our post show.
Slightly related to that, Tim, if you could check Slack as well while you're checking through that for some possible opening night live stuff shenanigans that we're trying to figure
out. Yes. I will definitely get that.
Give me one sec.
Yeah, it is. Bless, can you take up the housekeeping stuff for one sec?
Yeah, of course. Housekeeping for you, of course, right after this is our live reactions to Gamescom opening night live. So if you're watching this live on Twitch, don't touch that dial, because we'll be rolling right into that. If you're listening later, the reaction video will be up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We also got a new episode of the Kinda Funny podcast featuring First Date Do's and Don'ts. I don't know why I wasn't on that one. You can catch that on youtube.com/kindoffunny and on podcast.
Because it was made for someone like you, Bless. It was made for so you can listen and get the advice.
Nobody on Kinda Funny is going on more first dates than I am. Is that because everybody else is taken / married except for Andy? Yes. But also, listen, all right, I'm out there during the current era, Tim. All right? Mm-hmm. Tim, you don't know what it's like to be on Hinge and to be just starting conversations and just ending them after three messages because one of us goes to the other. All right, you don't know what that life is about, Tim.
I don't. Thank God. I feel so bad for you.
It's like the Drake lyric where he says, "I don't know if they would have survived in this era." You know, he was talking about the Nossins. He was talking about the Jay-Z's, what they survived in it. Tim, you're the Nossins in this scenario.
Thank you.
I'm the Drakes.
I'm out here with Khalees having to buy my own freaking random ass house in the middle of the desert because we're fucking too loud. You ever hear about that?
No, I did not hear about that.
That's a true story. That is a true story. Nas and Khalees had to buy a house that it was far away enough from everybody else to not bother them because they'd be banging out here. Of course, like I said, this is kind of Funny Games Daily. We have so much to talk about, so let's get right into it. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Before we do that, actually, I want to say thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Guy V, and the Saboteur. And today we're brought to you by MeUndies, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Such a smooth company.
It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Story number one. Man, bless. When me and you knew that we were going to host almost every Games Daily this week, we didn't know what type of week we were going to get with news. We didn't know if we were going to get, oh man, slow news day after slow news day. But that wasn't the case at all. The gaming gods have shone down on us and gave us. Story number one, PSVR 2 will be released in early 2023. This comes from Matt Kim at IGN. PSVR 2, PlayStation's next-gen VR headset, will be coming sometime in early 2023. According to multiple PlayStation social media sites across Twitter and Instagram, the next-gen PSVR headset has locked in a release window sometime in the early months of next year. The window was confirmed on PlayStation's official Instagram account, as well as numerous PlayStation regional Twitter accounts from France and Brazil.
Interesting way to announce it, right? They're not, they didn't put up a PlayStation blog post. They didn't put it in some kind of showcase. It's not like there's any other showcase happening right now where they could have put this information into, right? It's funny, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this on PS Love You in terms of where do they announce PSVR 2? What does the plan look like now? Do we still believe that it might come in 2022? And I think all of us agreed that no, at this point, it is coming in 2023 because you would have announced it by now, right? You would have done the big reveal. I think that would have been an early summer thing. And so to see it announced for early 2023 isn't a surprise. What does surprise me, because my prediction was that we'd see it in whatever the fall PlayStation showcase is, because I think that makes sense just as a, hey, here's all these games. Maybe we have a VR game or two to show you. And then also, by the way, here's the release date or here's a release window for PlayStation VR 2. I'm surprised that they're just dropping it out of nowhere on Instagram accounts and on Twitter accounts. That said, Tim, when I put on my tinfoil cap, and it's funny because by the end of the day, right, like so many people are going to be listening to this episode after Gamescom Opening Night Live, so a lot of things that we're going to be saying will already be confirmed or deconfirmed. When I put on my tinfoil hat, do you think there could be some sort of announcement at Opening Night Live of a VR game coming to PSVR that would want to confirm their window for 2023?
I don't think that is a wild thing to think about at all. You know, I,
'cause why do it out of nowhere?
The first place we all saw it was the French Instagram account, right? Or the French Twitter account.
Francais,
For PlayStation. And then it started, like, it took a little, it took a little bit of time for it to kind of like officially get announced like worldwide across everywhere. So when things like that happen, sometimes you're like, ooh, did someone make a mistake? And then they're like, let's just like put it out now and just like kind of deal with it. Or is there some strategy involved, like you're saying? I think it's interesting where the concept of should this have been a showcase, it could have been an email, like all that type of stuff. Like, I think that we've heard enough about PSVR 2 so far, especially with the way that they've been talking about it on the blogs and all of that, that this announcement, the way that they did it, makes sense to me. Especially in terms of like getting ahead of Gamescom Opening Night Live, kind of just like, here we are, right, on Games Daily covering this news story before the day's about to get flooded with a whole bunch of Gamescom announcements. But I wouldn't be surprised. I think you bring up a good point that there is a chance that something might happen. I doubt it's going to be a PlayStation game, like exclusive, like a Horizon type or a God of War VR or something. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's been a lot of rumors of CD Projekt Red being there and some Cyberpunk DLC. Maybe we get a Cyberpunk VR and they want to announce that it's also coming to PSVR 2. That could make sense.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting string of thought of what is important enough to be announced today at a Gamescom opening night live for VR to make it worth PlayStation going, hey, you know, we're going to have this out in early 2023. This could be nothing, right? It could be, no, we just feel like announcing it now because why not? We're PlayStation. We're going to announce whatever we want, whenever we want, because we have that sort of power. I think that could very well also be true. And honestly, that might be the likelier answer. But I do think it's fascinating of, oh yeah, what if there is, like, you know, you mentioned Horizon. Horizon Call of the Mountain, we know exists. We know, we've seen the announcement. We've seen multiple trailers for it. What if there is a trailer that is, by the way, here's more of the game. Here's like a gameplay, like a few minute gameplay deep dive. And then also, yeah, it is coming out day and date with PSVR 2. It's coming out early 2023. What if it is, hey, Half-Life Alyx has something to show. That is coming out for, having that be announced for PSVR 2 and have that be announced with some sort of window, right? Like, you know, PSVR 2 being announced this morning creates an ease for announcements following to be able to stake their claim, right? Be able to say, hey, and we're coming at this time, right? And that's not, this is again me with my tinfoil hat on, right? This is me theorizing. I think it's random as hell to drop this news on a Monday afternoon on Instagram, French Instagram of all places. It's Instagram with two M's and an E at the end. I think that's strange. I think that's weird. But it's PlayStation, and they've done strange things like that before. PlayStation will do like random days where they're like, hey, let's talk about seven random indie games coming to PlayStation. And one of those games will be Inscription, right? A game that means a lot to the masses. But for PlayStation, they're like, yeah, no, let's just throw it on Twitter. Why not? It's not outside the realm of possibility for PlayStation to do something like this. I just wonder if there's anything deeper there.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting, and it makes me really start to think, like, are we going to get a PlayStation showcase this year or not? Just because we've had them the last couple of years doesn't mean that they're going to do one again. And I think that us knowing God of War Ragnarok's release date puts them in an interesting spot. And it's a spot they've been in before with things like Last of Us and Ghost, where it's like the more answers we got for the big upcoming titles, the less necessary they needed to be in the big showcases. We always wonder, like, oh wow, how are they get this game's coming out next week, but there's a state of play or a showcase the week before. How much time are they really going to spend on this thing that's imminent, right? And sometimes it's just a quick shout out of like, hey, remember, it's coming out next week or whatever, and they move on. I wonder if they're going to kind of like just hunker down and kind of ride the rest of this year out with God of War Ragnarok, and then this is them kind of just flagpoling early 2023 for PSVR 2, and then maybe we don't get a September showcase for PlayStation. Maybe it is sometime early next year. I hope that's not the case, but I don't know. At some point, I feel like it just makes sense given the landscape of video games right now, where I don't know, it almost, we need to know what's coming after Ragnarok, but I don't know that we need to know that until after Ragnarok.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, like, why step on the release of God of War Ragnarok? Not that anything can necessarily step on the release because it's God of War Ragnarok, but for PlayStation, it's like, well, our audience isn't fiending right now for new content. Our audience, they're not banging our door asking, where are the video games at, right? Like, Last of Us Part 1 coming out in a couple weeks, and then also God of War Ragnarok, and then also third-party stuff that's carrying down the fort, let alone the Forspokens of the world, the Final Fantasy VII remakes of the world, rebirths of the world. Those are out there, right? And there's not the inherent need to come out right now and, you know, do this big blowout of here are all the things you can look forward to. I still would be surprised if we didn't get a PlayStation showcase this fall, though, because I think on the first party side, there's got to be so much to talk about. You know, there's so many question marks. There's so many secrets. There's so many things that we know exist or things that we can predict exists, right? Like, we assume that Ghost of Tsushima 2 is in development. Why not come out and just say it, right? We know that you're working on tons of multiplayer stuff. Why not come out and say it? We know that, you know, you got Bungie under your belt. You got Haven under your belt. You got Deviation Studios. They announced a partnership about a year ago, right? You have all these things that are question marks. I feel like you got to come out and clear some of that stuff up because, you know, you're PlayStation, and why not? And yeah, let's build hype for the coming years. For me, the thing that's interesting, speaking about showcases, is does PSVR 2 have a showcase, right? Does that happen beginning of 2023?
Oh yeah, undeniably. PSVR gets a showcase, and they're going to go all out, and it's going to be very focused, and they're going to have first party announcements, third party announcements. Hey, here's old VR games that are on it. If they don't do that, it's going to be an absolute massive failure on their marketing. Like, this, they need to prove to people that, hey, this is the definitive mainstream VR thing that you should invest in as a PlayStation owner. And I think the best way to do that is have one place with all the focus to hype it all the fuck up.
So when do you think we actually get PSVR 2?
Well, early 2023. I feel like that could be early. I feel like it could be February. I think January might be a little early, but I see February, March for this happening. Charles Jacobson in this chat says, even if it's a big IP, they always give him a state of play. Ragnarok will get a showcase. Yes. What I'm saying, there will be state of plays. I imagine we're going to get one for Ragnarok. I'm talking about a PlayStation showcase, like the one.
You're talking about the big event.
The big event where we get the Final Fantasy 16s and the
Spider-Man 2s
and things like that. So we're going to get one. We are overdue, and we are needing a big showcase, because I keep saying this, like, we're ending this first phase of PS5 where once Ragnarok comes out, all we know is that there's Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine coming, right? Spider-Man 2, 2023, Wolverine at some point. But besides that, what have all the teams been working on? What does 2023, 4, 5 look like for PlayStation from a first party standpoint? Third party is a little easier to put together.
We'll see.
We will see. Story number two. Sega seems to leak the Sonic Frontiers release date. This comes from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. This story can also be known as Sega doesn't give a fuck about God of War Ragnarok, baby. Sonic, let's go. Sega itself appears to have leaked a November release date for Sonic Frontiers after a new trailer for the game appeared on YouTube before swiftly being taken down. Gotta go fast. Industry insider Nibel spotted a new trailer grabbing a screenshot of its title screen that shows a November 8th release date. The trailer was publicly available on the Japanese Sonic the Hedgehog YouTube channel for just a few minutes before it was quickly made private and therefore unviewable again. It's likely the trailer that Sega planned to release during Gamescom that was teased by the game's official Twitter account yesterday.
Oh, hold on. Tim, I'm getting a phone call.
Oh, shit.
Hello? Oh, hey, what's up, Corey? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell them. That was Corey Barlog. He's saying that he's terrified of Sonic Frontiers and he's getting out the way because it's gonna have such a big impact. That is fake. Don't write news stories about that, the gamer. Don't write news stories. That is a bit. But I think it is hilarious that Sonic Frontiers possibly could come out the day before God of War Ragnarok, mm-hmm. same day as Skull and Bones, which. You know, let's not discount Skull and Bones.
Discount Skull and Bones, man. We have three Game of the Year potential candidates going on that wild week, man. It's about to be crazy. Honestly, Bless, like, this is sad news for me and you personally, and probably just the two of us. Yep. Because how the fuck are we expected to play both of these at the same time?
Does Sega not care? You know, like, what is their thought process here? I understand, yeah, sure, maybe the Sonic audience is different from the God of War audience, whatever. Don't release your game the same week as God of War Ragnarok, especially when your game is supposed to be like this big, meaty, open zone. I'm using the word meaty loosely, right? A big, meaty, open zone, open world Sonic game, right? Like, that's a game that I think you want people to be able to have time with, like, separate from a God of War, separate from like a juggernaut release. You know, I know right now it's kind of difficult to place your game in a place where other games aren't coming out because next fall or next spring seems like it's going to be packed also. But God of War Ragnarok feels like the one game where it's like, okay, no, let's get out the way. Let's not even try it.
Dude, again, I've been saying this for a long time, but so much about Sonic Frontiers just reeks of fiscal quarter shenanigans on the back end. Right? Like, it just feels like there are things that Sega needs to do at certain points to hit certain things and goals and all that. And I unfortunately think that Sonic Frontiers is going to be a victim of that. If that wasn't the case, would it have ended up being a great game? Probably not. But I do think that this is giving it less of a chance to succeed. But we'll see. We're just a couple hours away from seeing if this is confirmed, but it probably is. Story number three. Bungie, they did their own showcase this morning. They revealed Destiny 2 Lightfall. This comes from Tom Warren at The Verge. Bungie first released its next major Destiny 2 Lightfall expansion more than 2 years ago. And since then, players have gained control of the darkness, fought Savathun and her undead army, and witnessed the witness. Now it's time to shake things up again with the launch of Destiny 2 Lightfall on February 28th with its new cyberpunk world, new strand subclasses, and much more. Oh, there's a lot going on here. I'm going to get into the Twitter thread real quick of things here. So it's launching February 28th. This comes from Nibel. Lightfall adds a grappling hook for all three classes, the power of strands. Never forget.
Kojima. It's a strand game.
It's a strand game. They're going to add an in-game fire team finder in 2023, in-game loadouts and mod manager with Lightfall. It's coming to the Epic Game Store. The Fortnite Destiny 2 collab has been confirmed. Also, whoa. Destiny 2 cross Fall Guys, baby. What's up? Whoa. And also, they will not sunset any expansions in the future. Most of that means nothing to me. Nothing to me at
now,
all.
Tim, did you watch the Lightfall trailer?
No.
Because I'm somebody who... I've not played Destiny 2 since launch. I played a lot of Destiny 2 during launch, right? That launch month. But after that, I couldn't really stick with it. But that the Lightfall trailer looks dope as hell. Like, it is cyberpunk. It looks almost like a different game, right? The setting looks fantastic. I will say the strand grappling hooks got me. I'm like, oh, shit, this is fire.
You're a strand boy.
And I wish I could break it down, right? I wish I had the skill and, like, the lore knowledge to be able to get deep into why this is dope. But Tim, mm-hmm. that's not what me and you are for.
It's just not, Bless. Who could there possibly be to help us out with this Destiny 2 news?
Tim, I think we got a Destiny 2 fire team in the house. Welcome to the show, Steve Saylor in Paris. Fellas, how's it going?
Hey, eyes up, Guardian. Let's go.
Let's do it. It's like Beetlejuice. I heard Destiny. I heard Bungie, and I show up.
But, no. So let's break this down real quick, because what I'm excited about is, Steve, you were actually part of the showcase.
I was, yes. They, as part of the pre-show, Bungie invited a few community members to take part in a video marketing campaign they're doing called Heroes Welcome. If anyone remembers a video that was put up by Amaze, it was basically a wrap for Destiny. It's part of that campaign where basically we're just trying to encourage new Guardians to jump into Destiny, and people from all different walks of life. And my buddy, my best friend, T. Morris, and I got to sort of tell our story and how I started streaming on Twitch because of T and playing Destiny. So,
hell yeah! Congrats, man. That's thanks. Huge. Paris, what's your take on this news?
Oh, I'm over the moon excited for this. This is what I wanted. It's crazy to think I've been playing this game since 2014, and it's not slowing down. Bungie continues to iterate on this. They continue to listen to the community and add in features and things that we want. The biggest thing I took out of this was they're bringing LFG.
Yes.
In game.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
You have no idea how huge that is.
Oh,
for the cooperative experience, being able to raid, do the dungeons, being able to get everybody together in game. I don't have to go to a Reddit page or go on Twitter or somewhere else or try and wrangle all my friends together.
Or use the weird app.
Yeah. So it's huge. And, you know, bringing in this new subclass is going to be great. Neptune being a new location to go. The fact that they're not going to sunset these expansions anymore is it's everything that the community has been wanting. I'm very excited for it.
Hell yeah. Steve, any more thoughts?
Yeah, actually, I think that as Paris said, like, this is going to be a great time for new Guardians to kind of jump in, because the biggest problem that Destiny had is that they have a great sort of beginning with New Light, where it sort of teaches you the mechanics of Destiny and all of the stuff that you could be able to do. But once it's done, it's kind of like, okay, here you go, and just go nuts, and you have no way to be able to go figure out what to do next. So with this new, they've got Guardian ranks, they've got commendations, yes. They have LFG. All that stuff is going to allow new players to be like, okay, you know what, this is, we can lead you through the lore, the giant lore of Destiny, and lead you up to kind of like whatever the current expansion is. And the fact that they're not going to sunset any more expansions, so the earliest one is Shadowkeep is the beginning of sort of the darkness saga that we're currently in right now, the light and darkness saga. So which now Lightfall is going to be kind of like the second to last story in this saga. So now that basically new Guardians can kind of jump in and play is going to be huge. And also that Epic Game Store stuff is just like absolutely fantastic too. I'm loving that.
Creator code, kind of funny.
I was going to use mine, but I'm like, yeah, no.
Or creator code, Steve Saylor.
Blind Gamer Steve.
Blind Gamer Steve.
Would you guys say that this is a jumping in point for people who have not been, who have either, you know, played Destiny 2 at launch and then dropped off like me, or haven't played Destiny at all? Like, does Lightfall seem like it's going to get people in? Or do you think it's more for the use of the world?
No, I think to Steve's point, Guardian Ranks, that's the whole point of it, is to get new people in and to get people that have lapsed that have not played in a long time to be able, it's almost like this guide to get you through all the new systems and mechanics that, that have evolved in Destiny 2 over the years to get you up to speed to where all the dedicated players are so you can enjoy all these in-game activities together. So yeah, I think this is actually going to be a great jumping off point for new people to get in.
And what's great too is that as well, like for the Guardians that are currently kind of the hardcore Guardians, it will encourage those Guardians to help those new players, because you will get sort of commendations and ranks as well to kind of like as a leader. So you get to help people as they start. And that's the whole point of the even the LFG, being able to kind of jump in and be like, hey, new Guardians, what do you need help with? Do you need help with a raid? Do you need help with an activity, an expansion? What do you need? And they can be able to connect with new Guardians that way. And there's a lot of great people in the community that are able to do that. I know a lot of streamers that even my best friend T, like the reason why I got into Destiny was because he guided me through the entire campaign when Forsaken first launched. So it was like people like that are very like a big part of the community, and now they get to kind of be rewarded for that, and also it get to help a new Guardians as they're coming in. So yeah, it definitely would be a great jumping on point for sure.
How much awesome longer stuff is left in Destiny? Like, is this the final one? Is Destiny 3 around the corner?
No.
Really?
I'm actually shocked that they've not dropped the 2 from Destiny.
Yeah.
Because even though there's one more expansion coming beyond Lightfall to kind of wrap up this light dark saga, Destiny's not stopping after that. They're going to continue to do stuff with it. Yeah. So
that's wild that, like, I remember when Destiny was first announced and they talked about this 10-year plan, and everybody's like, 10-year plan, we'll see about that. And then Destiny 2 comes out, and it seems like Destiny 2 might actually fulfill that 10-year plan.
Yeah. They're going to surpass it, which is crazy to think. Basically, the 10-year plan will end with this expansion after Lightfall, but then it's going to continue beyond that. So, I mean, they're Bungie, man. I mean, it's just amazing what they've done with this game, with this concept, and they've just continued, you know, to iterate on it and just improve it over the years. It's great.
Totally.
Yep.
Paris and Steve, thank you guys so much
for
hanging out with us. We'll see you guys soon. Have a good Gamescom. Enjoy everything going on. But before we move on from the Destiny story, Barrett Courtney, our other Destiny expert, has some breaking news.
I've been taking in all of this Destiny news and like really just breaking it down. You know, me, your local kind of funny Destiny expert, talk about it all the time. And this is my big takeaway from all of this news is why? Huh. Why does it look the same?
For audio listeners, Barry just brought up a picture of the Lightyear logo, of course, Pixar's Lightyear, the latest Pixar movie to come out, and compared it with the Destiny 2 Lightfall logo. And there are some striking similarities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck? When I saw it, like, someone had, like, liked Jeff Keighley's tweet, and I thought it was, like, a fake foot, like, someone had, like, mashed it together, and I was like, oh, that's funny, because Lightfall is close to Lightyear, that they made it look like the Lightyear photo, or the logo. And it's like, nope, that's just the logo.
We joke right, about that, just... too, by the way. It's totally the Buzz Lightyear font, not gonna lie.
Yep, that's absolutely. Bye. Oh, man, we're going to move on to other stories. But remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get the show ad-free. But speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes. I love MeUndies. It is very rare, if ever, that you'll see me not wearing MeUndies head to toe. I'm wearing the MeUndies shirt. I'm wearing the MeUndies lounge shorts. I'm wearing the MeUndies socks. I'm wearing the MeUndies undies. Of course I am. Everyone knows MeUndies for their super soft undies and comfy bralettes. But did you know that they make other stuff too? They have daily tees, shorts, rompers that add a little silky softness to your everyday. They even make hoodies for your dog. You know that Toretto and Moose be rocking those as well. MeUndies is your destination for all things soft and sustainable. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. You're not going to regret it. you're going to love MeUndies just like I do. MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Story number four, a Borderlands thing showing up at Gamescom opening night live. This is interesting. They just dropped on Twitter this image of some Borderlands characters, little Borderlands tease. Bless, what do you think this is?
I assume it's the movie. I don't know what else it would be, right? Like the image they show gives me movie vibes for some reason. I don't know why. It just I maybe we've seen imagery from the movie before, or like there's been some sort of like iconography, but like this immediately made me think of the movie. So it's either gonna be that or Tim, or recently we talked about Tales from the Borderlands, the new Tales from the Borderlands.
I think it's that.
You think it's that?
I do.
Yeah, there's something about the outline here that like actually doesn't give me movie vibes. It, like the outline of especially like this character here, like their like hair here. It just doesn't that doesn't look like the outline. That of, like,
you don't think that's actual, Kevin Hart?
Yeah, no. That seems like something that's like in engine, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I get the vibe that this is Tales of the Borderlands. I feel like that kind of adds up as well with just everything we've been hearing recently of that game. Like at some point we have to get it, right? I feel like this is Gamescom opening night live, partnering with Jeff Keighley. It seems like the right place for that type of announcement. So
yeah, I want to see more from that movie. I guess it's probably just wishful. This is me being hopeful because I really want to know what that movie looks like. I want to know what Kevin Hart in that movie looks like
specifically. Well, we'll see. Bless, one day. Moving on to story number five. Twitch announced the end of their exclusivity clause. There is some asterisk to this, so don't get too excited, everybody. For those wondering today, Twitch announced the end of our exclusivity clause in partner contracts. This comes from 8-Bit Dylan, a dude that works over at Twitch. This means you can't do singular streams to YouTube or Facebook. You could do multi-streams, streaming at the same time as your live on Instagram Live or TikTok. This means you cannot simul-stream to YouTube or Facebook, which is what the majority of people that would care about this actually want from this whole exclusivity situation. Having said that, pretty big deal to be able to live stream on the social channels. Their reasoning here adds up, makes sense. Twitch wants to make money. They don't want people going on other platforms that are more direct competitors to themselves in terms of the web-based things like YouTube with the membership programs and all of that. They want to keep people in one thing. The thing that kind of rubs me the wrong way is their reasoning for it. They say that when you read through their actual like partner FAQ update that they put out, they're saying that it's for the best experience for the community. And it's like, no. It's the best way for you to make money. Let's just fucking call a spade here. But the TikTok is huge because it's a burgeoning platform. There are more eyes on it than any other platform in terms of like rising star power. And just being there, being live is going to get so many more eyes on the content you're making. There's going to be a lot of hurdles for people to get through. Us ourselves, like this morning, we're actually trying. I don't even know where we're at right now with it, but we're trying.
We just called it. We just called it, unfortunately.
Damn. We were trying to get it so that we could simulcast the Gamescom opening night live reactions on Instagram and TikTok as well as here on Twitch. But we'll see how this all goes. But what's interesting here is there's an extra part of this where now people are going to be allowed to stream, not at the same time, but at least stream on different platforms. So you can stream Kind of Funny Games daily on YouTube and then do the Twitch streams with Mike, Andy, and Nick over on Twitch.
Oh yeah.
Either at the same time or right after each other or whatever it is. So I actually don't know if you could do it at the same time, because the way it says is you could do it right after you go live, but I wonder.
But like, if it's separate content,
that's the thing, is that I'll have to look deeper into this, because like they're talking more to solo creators as opposed to people like us that had the means to do simultaneous streams at different places. But anyways, we'll have to see how that all goes down. But this is a huge paradigm shift in the streaming game. I think it's going to really change the way a lot of people make content. And it's a step in the right direction, but I unfortunately really, really wish that it was a further step. Selfishly for us, for sure. But also it's like, just when people can be in more places, that means more people get to engage with the content. It's just like, it's a win-win for everybody. However, it can be a loss for Twitch. I totally get it financially. And that is kind of the biggest bummer of all of this to me. Do you have any thoughts on this, Bless?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. But it's a small step.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yes. Story number six. Sakurai has ended his daily Smash screenshots. Yesterday, he tweeted, "This concludes the daily Smash Ultimate screens I've been posting since December 2019. Thank you for your support. Hashtag Smash Brothers. However, I've been thinking about starting something new. This time, it won't be daily, though. Check back around this time tomorrow for more info." So this was posted around 8 p.m. Pacific time. So today, around 8 p.m., we'll probably get an update from Sakurai of what he's doing next. I don't expect it to be anything wild, right? Like, it's pretty insane to think that Sakurai has been doing some form of this since 2007.
Wait, does it really go back that long?
It does, because he did it leading into Brawl. He did it, and for Brawl, it was the nightly, Japan time. It was night for us. It was like midnight. Post where they would announce one new thing for Smash Brawl every single night. And sometimes it was just like, here's a rule for Smash Brothers. Don't fall off the platform or you lose the stock. And it's like, thanks, Sakurai. But then sometimes it's like, yo, motherfuckers, Pokemon Trainer's a character. You get to switch between Squirtle, Ivysaur, Charizard. And you're like, whoa! So that was super fun. And then leading into Smash Wii U, he did a thing like this that it was screenshots that kind of blended the two things where it would be screenshots that would reveal things. So it'd be like, sometimes it was never a character, but like it'd be a screenshot, it'd be like four screenshots released, and like one of them would be like a new stage or one of them would have a new item in it. And I remember I did a lot of breakdown videos at IGN and it was like such a good time. And then for Smash Ultimate, because Ultimate was kind of like a remix version of the Wii U game, it was more of just like after the release posting a fun screenshots that kind of like tell little fun stories. It's Sakurai being the most Sakurai he possibly can.
And like they're great screenshots. Like it, you know, it's so fun that when people get their hands on a game like this, you know, oftentimes people will go crazy with it, make fan content, do crazy screenshots, all that stuff. I feel like Sakurai consistently has some of the best screenshots out of the game. And it's funny because he's also the developer, right? Like he made it and he knows how to use this stuff the best. And so you go through his screenshots, and I loved seeing whenever his stuff would pop up on Twitter, because it's always some sort of like really cool like usage of, oh yeah, in Smash you can like square up with this character, so I'm gonna have, you know, Ryu squaring up against you know, this character from Tekken, right, or Kazuya or whoever, right? I'm gonna have like all these fighting game folks in a row, like on a fighting game stage, right? Or I'm gonna have Mario and Sonic like jumping toward a star at the same time. Mm-hmm. He's more creative about it, but usually it'd be something where I'm like, oh, that's clever, oh, that's cool. Funny enough, my current computer screen background is one of those Sakurai screenshots, and it's Heihachi from Tekken basically doing like a fighting pose up against Sonic from Sonic the Hedgehog, and like I saw that and immediately I was like, I fucking love this. I am making this my background, right? As somebody who loves fighting games, also as somebody who loves Sonic, Sakurai does such a great job, I think, of capturing the fandom that people have for all these different franchises and contextualizing them in really fun and interesting ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna miss him doing this. You know, I think this is such an awesome thing, and I wish if we had the time, I would have like figured out a way where me and you could go, and we can probably still do this on like a future post show or something, like bring up our top five Sakurai screenshots and just like it, you know, show them off to the world, because he had some bangers in there. So shout out to this whole thing. I'm sad that it's ending.
Yeah,
for now.
Definitely. I mean, and what he's going to do next, I don't know, but I kind of like the idea of it not being daily. I don't think it's going to be anything like mind-blowingly him working on a new game or something. I mean, hey, maybe that'd be kind of cool. But I hope that it's kind of more deep looks back and like maybe like just a look back at Smash Brothers as a franchise and like giving like behind the scenes reveals of like characters that never were, you know, like there's like some Geno character design work that was done back in for Brawl that like wasn't released, or Travis Touchdown or something. Like, I'm sure there are characters that never actually saw the light of day. So could be interesting.
What do you want, Plus?
I want a Super Smash Brothers orchestra. We get orchestras all the time, and I know that's probably in terms of licensing probably impossible.
It's not impossible. It happened, and you can actually get it on Spotify. Smashing Live, they did it in 2001 to celebrate the launch of Smash Melee, and man, I just gave you the greatest freaking night of your life. It legitimately, front to back, I think it is my favorite single video game concert ever.
Really? Okay.
I mean, it's Smash Brothers. It's kind of cheating. Like, it's the medleys are just off the fucking chain, man. Like, the one problem is they didn't have a choir. It's just orchestra. And I'm a choir boy. Could you imagine
a post-Brawl orchestra with a choir to it? Oh, my God. Yeah. I was listening. This is related but unrelated. I recently discovered a UK grime song. Like for folks for the uninitiated, right? UK rap. I need to find the name of it though, because the song samples the theme from Brawl, and like sick. it is a sick ass instrumental. I fucking love this song. It's these UK thugs, and so like they're going in, right? They're like, mate, I'm a shanky. They're doing all the UK slang you throw in there. They're saying it. It's great.
Oh, bless.
Shout out to UK grime.
talking about like the Smash Sakurai, like just the memories of him posting stuff in the announcements. I will never fucking forget when they were just like, okay, we did Melee. It was one of the greatest games of all time, and it was essentially a perfect Smash Brothers. Now we're making Brawl, and you know, if there's going to be third-party characters, there's going to be a single-player mode. There's all these insane cutscenes of seeing these characters interact in ways we never thought. It's like, but who's going to do the theme song? Let's get Nobu Uematsu of Final Fantasy fame to fucking arrange this. Are you kidding me? They went too hard, Sakurai. We don't deserve you.
I hope Sakurai in the future, this future thing he's teasing, is just him posting good pictures of Kirby.
That would be nice. That would be nice. That Kirby concert, though, y'all.
I still need to go back and see that.
And bless you, better fucking do it fast. You know why?
Mm-hmm. Is it going to get delisted?
They're taking it down. They're taking the YouTube video down. What are you talking about?
That's fucked up.
Figure it the fuck out, man. Jesus.
By the way, the song I was referencing earlier is called D38 No Miming. D38 No Miming. Highly recommend if you're a rap fan or if you like the Brawl theme a lot. 1,000% go check it out and listen to it. It's fire.
Love it.
I'm sending it to you right now, Barrett and Tim.
Thank you very much. Story number 7 to round out the news stories today. Nintendo Treehouse Live featuring Splatoon 3 and Harvestella announced. This comes from Jordan Midler at VGC. Nintendo has announced that it will hold its Nintendo Treehouse live stream later this week, featuring news on Splatoon 3 and Harvestella. The presentation will be held on August 25th at 9:30 a.m. PT, just a couple days away. The show will consist of a deep dive into the all-new Splatoon 3 single-player mode, a look at stages and strategies for the Splatfest world premiere demo, and world-first gameplay for Harvestella. So there cool. we go.
Bless, I didn't know what Harvestella was, and then, you know, I pulled up this trailer. And there's definitely some anime waifus in here. So this seems like a blessing game for sure.
Why does everybody think I love anime waifus? That's first and foremost. All right. Mm. Secondly, I do want to check this out. I'm usually not a farming sim person, but you just showed some screens of combat going on. And I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't realize they had combat in this game. I thought this was straight up just a Harvest Moon type of game. But it looks like it has a little bit more going for it. And so... Dude, and they have a thing called Quietus.
This is like the weirdest, most square ass thing ever. And I know that like everything Square does is in some way, but like this just feels like such a mishmash where they're just like, all right, well, we published some farming sims before, so let's get some of that in there. We're gonna have weird worlds like Quietus in here, like that's more representative of like the Final Fantasy 15 modern side. But then fuck it, all the characters are gonna look like Crystal Chronicles, because why the hell not? Like, this is such a bizarre thing where it just feels like they're like, and that's some Final Fantasy 8 boss looking stuff. Like, this is a greatest hits, which, hey, that strategy might really pay off for them. You know, like, hey, there's a lot of fans out there like all this different stuff. Maybe they'll like all the other things too.
The Crystal Chronicles sounds like some kind of drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I had a homie. He did the Crystal Chronicles. He didn't make it out.
Dude, everyone I know that did Crystal Chronicles, man, they went way too hard. Way too hard.
For sure.
Did you have any friends that did? Now.
Did I have any friends that did Crystal Chronicles? Is that what you're about? Mm-hmm. I had one. His name was Steven.
Yeah.
And he changed his name afterwards.
Yeah. See, the thing about doing the Crystal Chronicles is you can't do it alone. Like, you have to do it with friends.
Oh, you had to do it. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Like, it's not as good when it's just one of you. Like, you needed to. But it gets really expensive, the whole habit, you know, because you have to get the GBAs and the link cables as well as the GameCube and all that stuff.
Bro, if you got to get a GBA to do your thing, then it's not worth it, bro. It's not worth it. You've gone too far. Come back to reality.
Y'all are a couple of dorks.
We can get you help. Barrett, you know you'd be doing the Crystal Chronicles, Barrett.
Nah, too dangerous for my blood.
Yeah, Crystal Chronicles, honestly, who is this in the chat? Lanky Dragoon saying it's a gateway drug. It's a gateway drug to the Four Swords adventure. You know what I mean? Splatoon 3. I'm not a Splatoon guy. I really gave Splatoon 2 a shot, and it's fun for what it is. You know, I know Andy got into it for a bit. I wonder if he, I can see him giving this the good old weekend try, you know, seeing if he can get back into it. I know he loves those ink girls or whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah, I don't think they're the in squidlings? This one though. It's two different hosts this time around, right?
Oh yeah, it's the three hosts. I forget what they call them, but like the trio, the cool trio. I want to try. I definitely want to try to get into Splatoon 3. Andy's the one who convinced me that it would be my jam, and I trust in Andy. Andy seems like he has a good head on his shoulders.
Hold on.
What up?
I was expecting Andy to pop in the chat, right? And it wasn't Andy that popped in the chat. Snowbike fucking Mike popped in the Snowbike Mike, what the fuck do you have to say about Splatoon 3?
Oh, man, I've been riding so much Splatoon 3 hype. It's insane, Tim. But I'm just here for, of course, Gamescom. That's why I'm here.
Gotcha, got it. Are you interested in Splatoon 3 at all?
Yeah, I played a little bit of Splatoon 2. I really do like the arena shooter and anything with the fun, colorful stuff I'm into. Nintendo Online servers suck, but like I'm into it for sure. I'll give it a try with Andy.
Cool, yeah. Cool.
And I also plan to give it a try with Andy.
Joining us is Andy Cortez.
I put it on the calendar. I'm so excited for this.
Oh,
it's been a while since there. Mario Soccer Strikers really kind of screwed us all over, right?
Yeah.
Mario Strikers coming out and having that
and
weekend.
And
I mean, you know, I guess in terms of having a tech test or whatever the hell that they're calling this, they're doing like this preliminary Splatfest or whatever. But I've been really, don't laugh at the word Splatfest, Tim.
Preliminary Splatfest.
It's serious stuff. I don't know why. Like us Inklings, we all got to kind of stick together and
that's true. That's
don't appreciate true. Kind of being made fun of like that. But yeah, I think Splatoon is Blessing's jam. I think it's kind of got that personality and it's just a really fun kind of one more game shooter that doesn't require you to, you know, necessarily click heads. You're just kind of painting the ground and it's really neat. It's a fun game.
You ever do the Crystal Chronicles, Andy?
I love the comment that said like improv kings right here.
Bro, that was your comment. That was your chat.
No, it was Toby Blue. Toby Blue said that.
I would have loved if Andy was giving himself credit.
Andy, I'll hop into the what's it called? The premature Splatfest with you.
We're going to prematurely splat?
Yeah, we're going to prematurely splat together.
No, sweet. I love it. I love it.
No,
so
you can't say that. You can't say that.
I said it.
Well, everybody, we're about to get ready for the Gamescom Opening Night Live situation, but Opening Night Live is so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop Shops today, where would I look?
You would look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah.
Out today, we got Midnight Fight Express on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. We got Saints Row on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, PC. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on all consoles? And I feel like we have to stream that.
I'm 1000% down.
That will definitely be happening sometime Friday.
Good, good, good. That sounds utterly fantastic. And I want to do it with Kev. I want Kev to just be tested because we need to know. We need to find out the answers. Does he actually know what he's talking about or do we just believe him?
I think it's half and half.
Fallen Legion Revenants on PC, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Yars, Recharged. On everything.
An Adam Vision joint. Of course, that's the homie that did Ding Dong XL. He's done stuff with Gary Wood also. So Yars Recharged is out on everything, including Atari VCS, I think.
We got Justin Whack and the Big Time Hack on PC and mobile. And then the Bloodstained Cross Journey crossover update launches today.
So weird.
I know. So fucking weird. But hey, you do you. You do you, Bloodstained. Deals of the day, Wario64 posted that you can get Pokemon My Partner Eevee for $9.99 on Best Buy. Its head moves, its tail moves. There's a touch sensor on its head. It says Eevee, Eevee.
It's a built-in microphone, too.
Yeah.
It'll talk back to you.
This is great.
50-plus reactions.
My dog's
Blessing, can we get an impression of the Eevee? Because you're really great at impressions.
I refuse. No, you're not going to get any more impressions out of me on Games Daily, everybody. All right. Y'all broke my spirit. because I did my fantastic Joel and y'all wanted to make fun of me.
Hey, can we get that Joel one more time, Bless?
I remember
Evie... You don't know what hurt is. I don't know what the life is.
Jesus Christ. I remember Evie, you know how Pokemon say their names?
Yeah.
Evie always, yeah, some of them say them really weird. It's like Psyduck, it's like cool. He says Psyduck and you fucking get it. Pikachu, it's more like a Pika, and then there's the Chew. Pikachu. Evie's all, I remember Evie. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Evie was fucking weird. It was always just like,
remember Evie.
It sounded like Evie was speaking a different language saying its name. It would always be like,
wait, really?
Yeah.
Can we pull
a little cuter than that? But
Barry, can you look that up? Because I don't remember ever hearing
it. It sounded more like a U E.
Like
a Levy. Levy. Levy.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm fucking Evie here. I'm Evie.
Fucking Evie, dude. Where the hell are we in this godforsaken show?
Deal of the day. You get your Evie toy. Now yeah. It's time for you're wrong, actually.
Good. Let's see what we're wrong about on this show. Probably nothing. Let's see. Breaking news from ALWT says. Reports say that in an interview with Tim, PlayStation was afraid of PSVR 2 sales around launching near God of War Ragnarok, so they pushed it back until early 2023. There you go. Breaking news, everybody. That's been kind of funny games daily. Thank you to everyone that hung out with us today. We have Paris. We have Steve Saylor. We got Barrett. We have Andy. We have Mike. Roger just popped in. Roger, say hi.
He's deaf and he can't hear us.
Roger's deafened everybody, but I'm sure he would say hi if he could.
He would go, Raji. That's his
Pokemon. This is the type of energy we are bringing today. We're going to continue rolling right into opening night live, but we're going to be gone for just a couple minutes if you're watching live on Twitch because we got to get it all set up, but it's going to be great. We'll be joining you in a little bit. If you're watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames later, we appreciate you. You can check out our Gamescom live reactions and then our Gamescast analysis of what we thought of Gamescom later today. Also podcast services around the globe. So stay tuned for all of that. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.